أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، النعمة المهداة والرحمة المسداة والسراج المنير. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الله تعالى في سورة الأعراف: خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين، وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه سميع عليم. الله says in سورة الأعراف: show forgiveness, enjoin equity, and avoid the ignorance. And if a prompting from Satan should stir you up, seek refuge with Allah. He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, who was the second Khalifa, and we all know Umar and we know how he was, quite a tough man, little bit short-tempered, but only in the rights. One day one of the people told him, Ya ibn al-Khattab, Wallahi la tu'atina al-hadl wa la tahkum fina bil-adl. You don't give us what's due to us, and you are not fair to us. And he was speaking to the Khalifa, the ruler of the Muslims. And Umar got very upset with him when one of the friends, one of the people around, reminded him of this ayah. He said, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرَدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ إِنَّ هَذَا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. This man is one of the ignorant that is mentioned in this ayah. And immediately it clicked into Umar's heart, and immediately he turned, his anger turned into calm, and he did not do anything to this man. This ayah, actually, in the Quran, is the basis of how we should all be behaving. It is the basis of morality. It's got so much about it. We can talk about it for hours and hours and hours. So in the very short time we have today, I'll try to highlight some of the meanings of this ayah and how it can affect us. As a matter of fact, when this ayah was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, we know that Jibreel used to tell Sayyidina Muhammad the ayat of the Quran. And when it was revealed by Jibreel, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told Jibreel, what's this? مَا هَذَا يَا جِبْرِيلِ? What does it really mean? And Angel Jibreel said, I don't know, I'll have to ask. So he went to Allah, asked him, and came back and said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكَ أَن تَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ وَتُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَكَ وَتَصِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. Angel Jibreel told Prophet Muhammad that this ayah means that Allah is telling his Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forgive whoever wrongs you, and give whoever denied you, and connect to whoever disconnects with you, does not connect with you. Communicate with whoever does not communicate with you. The Prophet then said, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي تَأْدِيبًا حَسَنًا. When the Prophet accepted these recommendations, then he said, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي تَأْدِيبًا حَسَنًا فَلَمَّا قَبِلْتْ. My Allah has taught me good manners. And when I accepted his recommendation, he said in the Quran, وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. You've got great morals. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم had great morals. And the morals was taught to him by Allah. And this is not only for Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's for each and every one of us. These very high standards of morals. Where are we from these morals? How much of it are we keeping? How much of these recommendations are we following? However, just to carry on with the story of this ayah as it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, as I told you, he asked Jibreel and then Jibreel asked Allah and he came back and explained to him. But then Prophet Muhammad asked a very legitimate question, which I'm sure each and everyone would ask here. He asked, وَكَيْفَ بِالْغَضَبِ? What about if I lose my temper? What about if I'm angry? And he said, this is where the rest of the ayah comes in. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. So the first ayah with خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Okay, what about if I lose my temper? What about if Satan comes and stirs me up? He says, oh, you know, this chap has insulted you. He's affecting you. He's spoken badly about you. And he stirs me up. What shall I do? And Allah tells the Prophet and tells us all in the second ayah immediately, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٍ. If you are prompted by Satan, should he stir you up? فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Then seek refuge with Allah. He is all hearing and all knowing. So this is the path. This is the way. We should try to follow these recommendations. And when we feel that our ego is getting the best of us, when we feel that we are losing our temper, then we should ask Allah, seek refuge in Allah, and Allah is going to help us. So what does this really ayah really mean? As I said, I mean the scholars have spoken about it for ages, books and whole books. But I'll just highlight one meaning from each of the recommendations because of the time we have. So, خُذِ الْعَفْ, when they tried to interpret it or make us understand it, they said, seek the positive in people's attitude, avoid the negative. Always look for the positive. Everybody in the world, every human being has got positive points, negative points. Every situation, although it might appear totally negative, must have some positive points. So, always seek the positive. Have a positive attitude towards life. They told us that a lesson we can learn from Jesus, alayhi salam, he was passing with his disciples and they saw a rotting carcass. And the rotting carcass looked horrible and smelled horrible. So they all shrugged away from it. But what did Jesus say? He said, oh, look at that. The carcass has got very bright white teeth. So he could find beauty even in a rotting carcass. I'm not saying we can go elevate ourselves to that level. It is just an example to show us what we should be doing. In any situation, in any human being, try seek the positive. Try to seek the good. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. That is, follow all good habits and attitudes that are in line with Sharia. So, any good habits and attitudes in any society, as long as it is in line with the Sharia, then we should try to follow it. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That is to elevate yourself above the wrongdoers. Elevate yourself above those who use bad language, ill language, who backstab you, who might, you know, not be very nice to you. And keep company, of course, with the knowledgeable. So these are the three recommendations in very short, as I said, just one of the meanings, but each of them has got many, many, many meanings as the scholars have explained to us. One of the Bedouins came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day and told him, look, we are rough people. We live in the desert, so we have a rough nature. So teach me some things that Allah would benefit me with it. And the Prophet said, ittaqillah. The first thing, practice taqwa. Be full aware of Allah. وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. And do not look down at any good deed, even if it is very small. وَأَنْ تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بُوَجْهٍ بَصِدٍ. To meet your friend or your brother or your sister with a nice smiling face. وأن تفرغ من إناءك في دلو المستسقي. And if somebody asks you for help, help him out. He talks about it in terms of water. So if somebody tells you, I want some water, give him some water from your cup. Pour some water into his cup. Meaning, help whoever asks you or seeks help for you. وَإِنْ امْرُؤٌ سَبَّكَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمْ مِنْكَ. And if somebody insults you and says things about you that he does not know, فَلَا تَسُبَّهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمْ فِيهِ. Do not insult him back by things that you might even know about him. And that's the important thing. So if somebody insults you, if somebody uses bad language against you, if somebody makes false claims against you, do not replicate that by making claims against them, even if it is not false, even if it's claims that you know about him. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعِلَ لَكَ أَجْرًا عَلَيْهِ. Allah will reward you for that. So, these are some of the recommendations that the Prophet ﷺ have made to this Bedouin. And I'm sure that we can all benefit from these recommendations. Now, I just want to bring you a few examples of what the Sahaba used to do and how they used to deal with this recommendation. So, Sayyida Safiya, we know Sayyida Safiya was one of the wives of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and she was originally Jewish, and she married Prophet Muhammad and became a Muslim. So one of her servants or slaves went to Umar. This was in the time of the Prophet Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab, and told him, إِنَّ صَفِيَّةُ حِبَّ السَّبْتُ وَتَصِلِ الْيَهُودِ. She went and told him, you know, my lady, my mistress, she still loves Saturday, and she still is good to the Jews, i.e. she's really a hypocrite, accusing her of hypocrisy. And when she learned about that, she asked her, why did you do that? Yes, I used to like Saturday because it was the day for the Jews, but when I became Muslim, I changed Saturday to Friday because we all celebrate Friday now. And of course, I'm in good terms with the Jews because some of them are my family, and we are ordered to be on good terms with the family. So there were good justification for that. So what did she do? Did she punish her? She did not punish her. Did she tell her off? She did not. As a matter of fact, what she did was the total opposite. She said, you know what? You're my slave, but you can go free. So she gave her freedom, granted her freedom in return to her insult, and in return to her trying to cause her problems. Many, many stories of the Sahaba, amongst which was Qissa Zain al-Abidin ibn al-Husayn. Zain al-Abidin ibn al-Husayn was the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Where one day he was coming out of the mosque, and a man stood there and started insulting him. He said, you know, you're a hypocrite, you're a show-off, you're not genuine, and he started really insulting him in the most horrible terms and words. And the companions of Zain al-Abidin tried to stop him, and he said, no, leave him. So he left him, and this man carried on and on and on and on until he got tired. And he said, are you done now? Have you finished insulting me? You know what? All what you said was probably correct. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything that you need me to help you with? And the man turned around and said, Ashhadu annaka, I declare that you are the grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you have learned the proper manners of him. You know what? They've paid me money to come and stir you up, to show you off so that you can lose your temper and insult me. But you have shown me how Muslims should behave. So these are just a couple of examples. There are endless examples of what the Sahaba used to do, how they used to behave. And we should really take, you know, learn from them and try to follow them. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا رسول الله. This is a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لن ينال عبد صريح الإيمان, that nobody will achieve pure iman. صريح الإيمان is pure iman, not that he will not be iman. Iman is belief, pure belief, until he does three things. حتى يصل من قطع ويعفو عمن ظلم ويغفر لمن شتم ويحسن لمن أساء إليه. So four things. Until he connects to those who do not connect with him, somebody who ignores him, and he tries to connect with them. ويعفو عمن ظلم, and forgives whoever has done him wrongdoers. ويغفر لمن شتم, and forgives whoever insults him, even if it's in public. ويحسن لمن أساء إليه, and does good to those who do bad to him. So, these are the recommendations of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to us if you want to achieve pure iman, pure belief. Now, is it difficult? Of course it's difficult. Is it easy for any of us to do that? It is not, because we're all egotistic. Our egos will always play into it. But if we remember the ayah of the Quran, which says, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. If somebody wrongs you, speaks badly of you, you answer him back in a good way, and this is going to probably change his heart, and you will become friends, you will become on good terms. This is usually the rule. This is usually the rule for with most people. But there are people who are sick in the heart, and even if you are good to them, even if you answer their insults with goodness, they will accuse you of being weak. So how do we deal with these? These are the difficult ones. But these are the ones where we have to remind ourselves, am I answering this man or am I not answering him because I am weak, or am I not answering him because I look down at him, or am I not answering him because I am seeking the reward from Allah? This is the point. This is the issue. If we treat other people seeking the rewards from Allah, then it will be easy for us to be able to follow these recommendations. It will be easy for us to be able to put down our ego and deal with it. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك مع من سواك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا, وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا, وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم. وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله.